T-Mobile.
T-Mobile.
Morning.
KK4NXZ.
Good morning. How are you?
I had a little feeling.
Wednesday running a little bit late. Got two inserts, and I'm not inserting them. I'm just what they call topping them, putting them up, putting headlines on top of them and putting them in the boxes or bag.
If they get them, they probably don't care.
The way we used to do it, had to go, they were fussing about them not being inserted, so. But this morning, as big as they are and as many as I got, I'm not trying to insert them, I'm just topping them. I'll just have to get over it this morning. I hate to be that way, but either that or get done about 9:30 in the morning.
What's that going on?
I'm sure they'll be happy we're getting their paper.
Department.
I just got done when I signed them. In the morning, you got looking at you.
Tim was filling in for a guy yesterday, so he went in about lunchtime, about 11:30. And that guy was going to be late, and he ended up not showing, so Tim worked full second. So he won't be there this morning. And I got another guy out, so he's off today, and it's probably going to be hectic.
I have a word of prayer with that one that didn't show up.
They had a funeral, and then after the funeral, he was supposed to be in about 8 o'clock. And after the funeral, the mother of the boy who was deceased wanted him to do some stuff, and so he kind of got caught up in that.
What time for as long as he let Tim know?
But I don't think Tim was prepared to work all night.
Sorry, make a man out of it.
True. I've had to do it. I've had to work a double shift several times because the second shift lead guy was out. But that always makes for a fun night.
36 hours straight several times.
Other days, I had worked a triple shift, and of course, you know, I was wiped out the next day, but now I don't know if nobody showed up.
Lou went through the police department, and I was the only one here for 36 hours straight.
The guy's doing that through the COVID.
I mean, yeah, I'm having it.
In touch with them?
Yes, guys. They flagged me down, pulled me over or whatever, talked to me for a few minutes, keep up with the news. Somebody just about that I actually work with has retired, except maybe three.
Together?
Never do that. And I have one that if I could ever get him to slow down long enough since he retired, I'd been trying to get him to go eat lunch with me, but he'd always seem like he's here, there, and yonder, and I can't catch him.
When you get retired, you're probably busier than you were when you were working.
Yeah, all right. Riding motorcycle or going fishing or hunting?
Occupied.
I had to retire. Me and him, we'd still be working together.
Tell me that Paul's was back open, that his son took it over.
Affirmative. Anthony took it over and reopened it, and they having to shut down the breakfast morning right now because a lady that was running it for him fell and broke her ankle.
But that hurt. That's a chunk of business.
I can imagine, but he opens up at 10:30, closes at 9. So you need to get on over here and we'll go do dinner.
But it's just finding the time. I started to try running out there yesterday, out down to your place, but that wasn't going to work. I had company coming in the afternoon. This didn't work out. I'll try to get down there sometime or another and swap spots.
And one afternoon, and you and Miss Shelley come on, and we'll go over to Paul's and eat dinner, and then we'll swap spots.
Good. I'll try to get us up a date.
What do you mean?
not the plastic, but the resin and the, of course, the semiconductors. Everybody's dealing with that.
Hoping that my stuff was on that given, given green or give green or something like that, that ship out to Panama Canal, but I don't think it was.
Until my order comes in, just trying to be patient. That's not my strong suit. Monkey in it.
And it's not just, you know, electronic stuff. You can't get a refrigerator hardly before the middle of May, and then half of the others are back orders, and I'm having trouble at work just getting simple bag filters, and that they're just, you know, with COVID, everybody went home, and then the kids were out of school, and then the people that liked it, then they're getting extra money and making more money being at home, and that, and they just can't get anybody to help work to fill the orders.
Business is still rocking right along. Not during the whole thing, I was still out here working.
They had us in there painting everything else. Figured if they was gonna pay my salary, they was gonna have me working. Got my shop Monday. Good to see you upstate. I guess they were in the Army, whatever, part of the campus or something. And they had that place packed like sardines. I'm like, holy crap, if Lindsey Graham or Peter Saul is, he'd call it a super spreader event.
Require it?
No, they did do a survey, and anybody that responded that they wanted or were interested in it, they sent them information to fill out for the Vaccine Administration, VAMS, whatever it is, acronym. And so I went ahead and went to, I filled everything out, went Monday, so I go back in 3 weeks and get my next shot.
The one you got, which vaccine manufacturer?
The Pfizer. I was hoping they'd offer to Johnson & Johnson, but they were doing the Pfizer.
Difference between those, the Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, do you know?
You know, they claim the Pfizer's more effective, but my biggest thing for the Johnson & Johnson was one shot, one and done. Ever decide to get it, I would recommend probably going to like a Walgreens or something, because I don't think it's quite as bad. But I walked in that place, they had, at every little booth, they had four people waiting, all side by side, elbow to elbow, just waiting with their mask on.
Gonna take one. Not enough research.
I don't remember if I told somebody or not, but I was sitting there and it had the question, could you not wear a mask once you were fully vaccinated? And the response on the screen was, they don't fully understand how the vaccine and the virus interact. And I'm like, what's the freaking point? Why am I getting a shot and I can't even not wear a mask anymore? And they don't even understand it.
Several articles recently where down in Florida and in one of the states up north where people have gotten COVID like 2 months, anywhere from a month, 3 months after they were vaccinated. And I don't know, if I come across one of those videos, I'll send it to you.
China is what knocks it out. It doesn't matter. Vaccination, everything is a COVID. There's no flu deaths this year. It's all a bunch of crap. So they're telling the truth about the test. They're not accurate.
I had a guy I worked with, his son had to go overseas. He tested, he came back positive. And he had like 3 days. They went back, got tested again like a day later, and he was negative.
Consider the COVID death. Medicare just dropped my insurance because there's fraud by law with COVID death. So they did it to drop me. So now I got to go to the VA and get pardoned and go through all kinds of crap. Talk about it.
Everybody, KJ4WZM.
What?
Haven't heard you in a while, KN4WZM.
Just a radiator cap, that's all it was.
I know what was wrong with it.
Oh.
just getting up to get, I got a doctor's warrant. I got to take care of some medical issues, and I got a, like I said, how you guys are doing good. How's it out there, foggy or not? That cow, he was clawing me to death. So I threw him outside the door. And then he started clawing, so I threw food at him.
Hey, 7-3 to you, so hopefully everybody has a great day. I'll catch you on another morning. This is KO4CF, and I'll be clearing you fine.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Sandra, have a good one, KN4TFW.
Have a good one, KC4WZN.
Oh, the house was great, build house.
KC4WZN.
Well, Daniel, we hadn't heard you in a while.
I was going into work at like 4 a.m.
Destination. I'm going to say 7-3 to you. Daniel, be careful out there on the road. 7-3 again, have a great day. And if you're still out there, you enjoy your cup of coffee. 7-3 to everybody. KK4NFC. I'm going to be clear.
Hopefully, catch you in the morning.
7-3, Mike. Have a good one.
KJ4WDM. Have a good one.
Have a good morning. What clock is it?
15 minutes or less.
I'm tired, fucking. I'm trying to do all the medicines and all the things. I really was just treatment to the doctor at 8. And, so I'm just killing some time.
It got yesterday.
I'm out there to start because she can't get the oxygen line out the door. So I'm hoping if you're going to be around this weekend, I'd like to get together with you. This weekend I'll find out, let my brother know where you are, and I'll call, have someone drop me off. And just give me a chair, I'll bring an oxygen tank with me, and we'll do some hammering. I had a 1 pound full of MIG wire for cast iron for the small welder. So if you got a small MIG welder, we can do it with that too. I found out. We just preheat the head with a rosebud, and then we just touch it light, and then we'll just, if it has a small crack, we'll just blow it. I don't think you're gonna. I think the other pair of heads is fine. Put you on the top. I knew those. Daniel, I'm gonna tell you, do you know those rod caps for all different rod numbers? And I made everything work. It was fun, but I got it to work.
I want to know an interesting problem that my Explorer was having. Fuel gauge. I turn it on, turn the vehicle on. The gauge would go immediately to full and then drop to an empty and stay on empty, regardless of how much fuel was in it.
A manual float? It has to have some kind of float in it. Probably the float sticking or the valve itself is bad. The float valve itself. All I have to do is take an ohmmeter to the tank and vary it, see if it varies. We may have to pull the fuel pump out.
I had a brand new fuel pump with a brand new float on it in the other Explorer, and I had redone the seal from that gas tank too. So I swapped tanks out. I now have a brand new fuel pump and brand new float on it. And I still had the same problem. Had the same problem. I fixed it.
Okay, was it a computer issue? Or was it a connection issue?
That goes in behind the instrument cluster. I don't know exactly what it's called, but you can think of it as like a slosh rectifier or something, where it tries to even out all the sloshing that goes around in the fuel tank. That's what its job is, at least. So that part start had gone bad. So I took out the instrument cluster from the other Explorer. I seen that thing. It's like a 2-inch by 2-inch little card. And I swapped those little cards out, and then it worked.
But those cards can be different. It has to match to the actual fuel gauge and you replace them too. So, Kyle, that is a little tip. It's just like a phone head. That's, yeah, I forgot about them doing that. That's the new way of doing it.
That it wasn't all soldered into that circuit board on the instrument cluster. It just pops out. It clips in place and then you press the release and it pops out. So that's really, really nice. Makes it a lot easier.
You know how many people replace that circuit board and they don't know? I'll bet you ask a dealership, they won't tell you about that.
I got an extra one sitting around.
Extra one that came out of the other Explorer too, which is nice to have, but because those don't match, you've got to replace that stuff together. Otherwise, it don't work. Remember this stuff, but it's been a long time since I just didn't see you. I'll tell you some stories. With some of the modern stuff, you won't believe.
I know what that part is called, and then call around and see if anyone even carries it.
Well, the answer to that one, I'll bet they don't.
You have to go to LKQ or something like that.
Of course, we don't make that no more. That's a good thing. Well, see, LKQ is one of the biggest junkyards in the country, but there's an older junkyard that has older Explorer parts. And you know what? I had trouble even finding your seal from them. They said they couldn't find it, so I gave them the number for it. Through an engine supplier to get them like I did, but I talked to some other places. They want, and they're like $40 a piece in my cost, and they're like $60 or $70 through Napa. I think it's been 8 minutes.
4WZM. I left the house at exactly 5:45, right when you asked what time it was. I'll look in a second and see what it is.
To repair on that case, man.
That's 583.
You know, I identify every 10, I identify every 8. Now, the other thing you probably didn't know, did you know they can't send Morse code on our gear faster than 20 words a minute? Because that's the code speed for the extra class test, 20 words a minute. Most people can't copy code faster than that. It eliminates the radio man, which when I get up, I'm going to talk to some people about that, they should. Because radio is very important. Let's ask Japan about that. Check around there and see if I can, I'll call around and see if we can find that circuit board.
That'd be cool. I'm trying to think. And then I also had an issue with my speedometer. It wasn't working good.
But they used to have the speed trap on the side of the road. So you could look at the speed trap, see how fast you're going.
Wore out. It constantly wiggled and would jump around back and forth. The magnets in it will roar out, which that's how it figures out how fast it's going, its magnets. And so the speed would slide back and forth quite a few miles an hour because it was wore out. So I pulled the speedometer out of the other Explorer and threw it in here. Sad thing is it's paired to the odometer as well. So now instead of my Explorer saying it has 419,000 miles, it says it has 213,000 on it.
It's a run as long as that one has. see, down here, engines run lower because we don't have the problem with the cold weather as much to contaminate the fuel. The Northeast is real hard. But if people are smart, and they're not smart, what you want to do is put preheaters on your oil and keep your engine temperature, engine hot, so the engine stays at 180 degrees when you shut it down, 190. That way the engine never has to have bodily lubrication, and therefore the wear gets cut down, the emissions are better, but most people don't think about that. Engine cleaner, you can test it out. You can put the Lucas engine oil treatment in there, and the Lucas filter oil treatment in there, and that stuff will, it's amazing how much friction that'll cut out.
I didn't realize that. Just a heads up, I am almost to work, so I'm going to have to hop off of here in just a moment.
Yeah, exactly, we got to sign off. I understand you got to get in there. But like I said, this weekend, if we can get in here, I'd love to do it this weekend, because I think this is going to be good. It's going to be nice and hot, I believe. There might be a thunderstorm in the afternoon, but once we're inside, I'm not bored. I don't care about a little thunderstorm while we're working. It doesn't scare me too much. Lightning's not as good. When the thunderstorm gets again.
Have to see how everything goes. I'm going to have to clear off for now, though. So good talking to you. And if you're still in there, you have a good day, too. And enjoy your coffee and all that good stuff. So, the 73's T out, and I'll talk to you later. 73, everybody else, if they're still in there, too. KJ, where does it? Great.
Have a good one, Daniel.
73, Daniel, KN4 GFW.
I feel bad about that. Ed?
Morning, Ed.
It's a good one, except for Wednesday. Always running late on Wednesday.
Interstate, I'm about a mile out. Hey,
came over yesterday afternoon, and they were there when I got home and that, and so we rode the four-wheeler and did some stuff, and then the other family took off back for Kentucky. They got home about 4 this morning.
A while since I've been up Kentucky, they sent me up there to Lexington twice to work with the police department, and I've been in Tennessee, worked 3 or 4 times, and Florida twice.
About a 5 and a half hour ride. It's actually a pretty nice ride.
Go up.
26 up to 40 and 40 over to 75.
Long time since I've been up through there. I'd like to go back. I just need to find somebody that's willing to work so I can hire them to run for a week for me.
Truck's in front of me backing up and kind of like blocking the gate. I'm going to have to see what's up.
He's broke down, dude.
By the way, soon, because, man, you can't hardly, I can barely get the car in, let alone the big truck. At the business next door is what it is.
That's the bid every time somebody break it down on what they call the kiosk. That's what they have to go over to get weighed and everything and their paperwork to get out of the port. He said it can be anywhere from 10 minutes to 2 hours.
For HDX, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Patrick.
Did we lose Ken there?
9-10.
We got a big cluster here at the gate. Somebody pulled up to the gate and the guard ain't there until 6:30.
Running late this morning?
Not late, but I always do on Wednesday.
Gentlemen, I'm going to need some help with a antenna. Any suggestions for an ATIF? I bought me a ST-991, a used one.
Homemade center fed dipole with a tuner, and I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Wire antenna going in both directions, if I'm remembering correctly.
If you can have it horizontal, vertical, inverted V, I've heard them, you know, all different combinations thereof, and even old timers will tell you that just a regular old dipole will outdo just about any other antenna.
One of those mystery antennas, it's just a wire, about 107 feet long, something like that. You can pick it up right there at the wire man right there off of Highway 11.
That's what you had, and I couldn't remember what the name of it was, but I knew you had a wire antenna. So that's what I was looking at, because that'll definitely be the easiest to put up right now.
Three antenna, or I think it's W5GI. It'll take you right to it.
Check it out. And Ed, I've been looking at those center fed dipoles that you were talking about. I've been looking at the Incom one just because it keeps coming up.
Good reports from everybody on my old homemade, but a lot of you, some center fed dipoles will do an excellent job regardless of who made it. Now, some people like the offset, and then some people like the end fed. It's all in what you like.
Radio will be here tomorrow, and my wife will go pick it up at the post office for me.
Winter. Need help getting the antenna up? Let us know. I think we wind up coming up there for a couple hours if you get situated.
I'll have to go, guys. I'm in the parking spot now, so I'll say 73. And yeah, if you need help with it, Patrick, just give me a shout. KN4 TFW.
morning. Talk to you for a minute. Does that matter how high you hang that thing, or does it, is there any kind of better setup for it?
At the time, it'll tell you to take it about 30 feet. But I had mine up to 30 feet, and of course, storm took it down. I brought it back up to about 20 feet, and it seemed to be doing a little bit better.
Talking the center section there or the whole antenna?
The whole antenna up to 30 feet is what they recommend. Don't have two trees to run it through, between or enough space. I've seen them ran at an angle from a tree down to the ground.
Find plenty of trees. That ain't going to be a problem.
Not where you live.
Kevin in 4XL.
Good morning, Kevin.
What frequency are you going to be using this antenna on?
I'm with you right now. I don't know. I'm still studying to get my general license, so I'm just trying to get everything set up. So these gentlemen here are always good to help with information, so I thought I'd ask them.
Yeah, multi-band antenna or just a single-band antenna?
Not one yet, so the one I'm looking at will be a multi-band, I'm sure. So I'm going to try to get it to cover as much as I can in one antenna.
It's got a ARL antenna book or a handbook or something like that.
I have a handbook, but that's it right now. I don't have the ARL antenna book.
The handbook's got a section on antennas, but I'm pretty sure it does. Take a look at it and see if there's anything in there about takeoff angles. I think I mentioned this the other day. But essentially, it depends upon what you want to do with your antenna, if you want to talk locally or if you want to try to get DX, other countries and stuff. By locally, I mean the U.S. But the higher you put an antenna, the dipole type like you're talking about, the general rule, the lower the takeoff angle will be. And the lower the takeoff angle is, the further the distance you'll go to get the other countries. It goes by, like, wavelengths is how they generally talk about it. The, if you're on the 40-meter band, for example, a half wavelength is 20 meters. And 20 meters, figure about 3 foot, which isn't accurate, but figure that's 60 foot up in the air. And if you get an antenna a half wavelength up in the air, 40 meters, 60 foot, you'll get a reasonably low takeoff angle and you'll have a higher percentage of working DX. But if you took that same antenna, like the other station was talking about, and you put it at 30 foot, it's kind of complicated, but instead of a half wavelength, you're down to a quarter wavelength now on 40 meters. And a lot of your energy is going to be going straight up in the air, and there isn't that much energy left for DX. It's going straight up in the air, you'll get the U.S., but not the DX stations quite so much. So having a particular height isn't quite as important as knowing what band you're on for that height and how that's going to affect your takeoff angles. So, if you're using a multi-band antenna, the 30 foot is a different percentage of the band of the wavelength for on each one of the different multi-bands. So it's not quite as simple as saying one height and it's all going to work. It's a little more involved than that.
After that, Kevin, thank you for that information. I've heard a lot about the takeoff angles, but like I said, I'm new to this. I'm still learning, so I'm just trying to get started on everything. I don't even know which band I'm going to hear the most on where I'm at up here, or if I'm going to, because I'm kind of in a hole.
Whatever, depending upon what your terrain is around your house and evolves too. Well, as I mentioned the other day, I spent years and years, I don't know if you were talking with somebody else, years and years just throwing an antenna up and working. and had a lot of fun. Throw it up and have a lot of fun. But after a while, if you get to wondering, well, could I do a little better, you might look into those kind of considerations. So I'm not saying you're wrong or put it up a short distance or anything. I'm just saying that there are things that come into play and how it all works. I've been a ham for, I got a license in 75 and started contesting around 2000, early 2000, so almost 30 years before I started learning about any of this stuff. After I started paying attention to it, I started having a lot more success with the DX and things, so you can have a lot of fun with it wherever, but there's a little more to it if you want to be successful more often. And it was mentioned about using keeping it up the whole antenna or letting the ends drop. If you let the ends drop, have a center high center, and then let the ends drop down, it gets more of what they call an inverted V configuration. And where a dipole will have a stronger pattern broadside to the antenna, when you let the ends drop, it'll be more omnidirectional. So that's something to consider too. But if you got a lot of trees, you can put it up. But then you got to think about, what do I have it oriented, north, south, or east, west? And if I got a broadside pattern, that could be why I'm not getting into North Dakota or, you know, those types of things. So it's fascinating. I've spent many, many hours, and so have other people, studying it.
From everything I've read, no matter what antenna you're going to do, you're going to compromise something. So it's just a matter of what you're wanting to do with it and how you want to use it.
Who else is in here? N4XL.
3KO4HKX, and I don't know if Ed's still with us or not.
You out driving around with the papers today?
Yeah, I got through about 3 or 4 minutes ago. I'm headed to the barn now. But usually on Wednesday, I run a little late. I have to bring a lot more stuff in on Wednesday, inserts and stuff.
Good job some days, especially in the bad weather. Go ahead, Patrick.
My trailer, so give me just a minute.
So, Ted, what do you run at home? I hear you talking about HF and like contests and stuff now and then. What are you running at home?
FDT, DX, FTDX 3000, made by Yeezy.
Briggs? Used to have the FT1000 MT Mark V field. And I enjoyed that radio quite a bit. One you got does a little bit better than that one did, though, like, from what I hear. Got a guy in the contest group runs a 3000. He seems to do pretty reasonable with it.
Get in there, just see, you know, how many I can get DX. I've got 73 different countries under my belt using that old, as I call it, homebrew antenna mixed in there with it. But, you know, I can't really complain. The radio does me an excellent job. It's got real sensitive ears on it.
I guess that means somebody checked in on the phone line. I'm not sure. W4FCM, I think, was the first one. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm back.
X, I'm back in the vehicle, Wells.
Delivered to Sam's Club in Spartanburg. Find out.
Be busy. Come on in here, Kevin.
Sounds like the gang's all here today. I've got just about 15 minutes or so, and usually when it starts getting light out, the dog and I take a stroll through the neighbor's yard. They've got about 300 acres and let us wander around on it, watch the deer run around, and listen to the turkey call. So, be here for a few more minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and check out. This retirement stuff's kind of fun.
Well, last count was 35 flock of turkeys on my place, and I got deer at the yin yang.
Back, and I got 107 cases today. 836 goes to Sam's Club, though. I just dropped that there, so that won't take too long there. I've also got two of the Lidl stores, Lidl, however you pronounce it, I don't know. Yeah, I got Ingles. I got Gaslight, Don Pleasantburg, and El Cactus something or other.
Mexican restaurant. Well, guys, I'm thinking of pulling my driveway. You guys have 7-3 to Kevin and Daniel and Patrick. Y'all be good, be safe, and hopefully catch you in the morning. So KM4 and AP will be clear on your phone.
So. Line of PKJ, 4WZM. Enjoy.
Ned, this is KO4HKX. Have a good day. You're still there. Thanks for the information on the antenna. As a pleasure. It's always talking to you. You always got a wealth of knowledge there.
Pleasure, Patrick. I like to share what I've learned over the years. And what I say doesn't work for everybody. Everybody's got a different configuration and everything else. I got licensed when I was 16, joined the Navy when I was 18, and moved around and never could set up a good permanent station. It wasn't until I retired from the Navy and settled down here in Greenwood that I finally began to learn about how you're supposed to set up radios. But in between going here, there, throwing up a wire in a tree or putting a wire on the top of the house a couple inches from the shingles, and I had a ball playing with everything. But once I really started trying to do contesting and moving up in the ranks that way and working 1,600-1,700 stations in a weekend, you got to do a little bit more to be reliable. That's the type of information I'm trying to share with people now. So when I say things like that, don't take it as I'm preaching that that's how it has to be, because it certainly doesn't.
I don't think it that way, and I don't think anybody else does. All this is subject to change in a moment, because everybody's trained different. It's all different no matter where you're at. You just got to figure out what's worked best for you.
From takeoff angles and things, I did a presentation to the Deep Dixie Contest Club on vertical antennas, how I made some decisions about putting up a 80 and 160 meter inverted L and improving my vertical. And the first part of it talks a lot about takeoff angles and dipoles and how height affects it with charts and all this, that, and the other. You get on YouTube and Google N4XL verticals, it'll probably pop up. It's a long presentation, but some people have seemed to enjoy it, and a few other clubs have contacted me and asked me to give it to them. It explains a lot about how it worked here at my station anyway.
That out. I have to get your call time one more time so I can write it down, if you don't mind.
Harry Lima, or as some of the people on the radio sometimes say, N4 extra large.
XL, correct?
Roger, roger.
We'll have to check that out. Like I said, all this is new to me, so I'm just learning. Coming in a little late. I'll be 46 this year, so getting a late start.
Doing. I take it you drive around delivering probably sodas or water or stuff like that to some of the local people.
I drive for a Green Co. Beverage Company in Cherrydale. I deliver beer and soda and water and just about anything else except Coke products, Pepsi products, and Budweiser. That's the only stuff that we don't deliver. Everything else, if it's a drink, we deliver. I take that back. We don't deliver Bang energy drinks. We don't deliver Monster or Red Bull.
but we deliver a bunch of other energy drinks besides this.
Good thing to do, get out and drive around. I got in the Navy and they put me in a submarine and lived in a tube, so I couldn't really get a chance to see anything. I said when I got out of the Navy I was going to take a job where I could have a window and look outside. You got one the whole time you're at work.
Recently, before this though, I drove over the road as a truck driver for about a half a year, almost it. Well, not quite a year. I just hit my 1 year mark. I've been doing this since December, but I drove about 8 months over the road, something like that at least, and really enjoyed it. It's pretty neat, other than dealing with log books and traffic jams.
My son did that for a while, long haul driver. First time he ever got out west and saw the Rockies, and he called us up. Well, you could almost see the tears in his eyes over the telephone. He said they're so beautiful, and they are. Went out there a time or two. He had to quit that though. The guy cut him off, and he put his rig into the ditch, median, and when the cab drove into that little gully between the two highway lanes, that he jammed his feet, legs stiff, and it drove both of his legs up into his pelvis and shattered him. He lived in our living room for about 6 months in a hospital bed recovering, and he decided he'd had enough of that, so he got out of it, but he used to like that quite a bit. Well, gentlemen, I'll go ahead and sign with you. Go upstairs and get ready to wander around with the dog. Talk to you again. Patrick, you pick it up. I didn't write your call down. I got Ted's. But, you give them to me. I'll try to write them down so I can start remembering people's names. This is N4XL. Go ahead, Patrick.
Kevin, you have a good day. And again, thank you for the information. This is K04HKX. Kilo Oscar 4, Hotel X-ray Kilo. I missed the phone call. KO4HKX. KO4HKX.
KO4HKX. And Daniel, what's yours?
Yeah, 4 Whiskey Zulu Mike. KJ4WZM.
KJ4WZM. Y'all carry on, have a good day, and see you another day, N4XL.
Daniel, what time do y'all start out there at Green Cove?
These guys get to work at 3:45, and they're gone at 4 a.m., and the latest guys show up on Keg Route, they show up around 8:30 a.m., and they're rolling around 8:45 or so and get to their first stop at 9. But they deliver to restaurants and stuff like that, so most of their places don't open up early enough to get a early start. The earliest guys come back to the shop around 12 p.m., and the latest guys come back around 6 to 7.
The guys running around, my route was there yesterday, and I see them coming in and out all day long, so I was just wondering how early y'all did start there. Y'all are moving when I get down there, and I get there fairly early.
Buddy's on the road by 6 a.m.
For my later days to get started, so I'm usually down that way. In the morning, I'll be down there by 6:30. So I see them moving around then quite a bit.
Delivery from 5 to 5 here, so the long haul guys come in with their big trucks and dock up. I think we have 4 or 5 53-foot rigs that go to stores and stuff as well. I don't know if one of them is busy or not, but they didn't load my stuff on one today, and I don't know why. They gave me a box truck, and I have to come back for my second load, so that's kind of annoying. And then I have a million stops on there. More like 7 or 8, I think. I have one big one, the truck completely full now, then I got to come back and get reloaded. I wish they would just put it on a truck.